how precious it is, how important it is to take time in the presence of God to open our souls to Him, to hear Him speaking to us, and to say, "Yes, Lord, yes, Lord." To open our hearts to that bright light that shines in from His Word and the working of His Spirit as we've just prayed. And we want to acquiesce and say amen to this prayer. Yes. Lord, work in me today. Yes. Do your gracious work. Have your way, Lord. Accomplish your purpose. You brought us all here because you have a special thing, a special working in mind. And we just thank you that we can trust you to accomplish it as we yield ourselves to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a lovely church I visited quite a number of times over in Germany. It's a very precious place to me. It was a church that my father's older brother, Walter, pastored for many years, and then he was followed by a dear friend of mine who's been a great blessing, Brother Joseph Kniesel. He's been a blessing in my life. I'll never forget that when my father went to be with the Lord, he came. He came to the funeral, and then on Sunday morning, he preached to us, and I probably remember it as well as the other people in the meeting, because I had to translate, and it helped me. I heard it from him, and it went through my mind, and then I heard me say it. And so I remember that way. And it was, "I commend you to God, to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up." It was that time when the Apostle Paul said he was never going to see those Ephesian elders again. And he had something even better than his presence among them, for them. And that was the word of God's grace. His gracious word, which could effectually work in them, was able to build them up and give them their inheritance. Their inheritance among the sanctified. Well, it wasn't the first time I ever heard that verse, or that passage, but the way God gave it to him for that morning was real special. But that's not what I started to say about Kirchheim. We have people in the meeting this afternoon from that church, and I'm so happy that they're with us from Germany, Brother and Sister Reichle and Brother and Sister Merkel, and Sister Moni comes from that area too, and Sister Grace has been there many times, and I suppose others of you have been there in that church. And so I'm asking you to help me. Here's what it is. In 1978, when we visited there, we were in quite a number of morning worships. I'm talking about, we had a group that went, but Susan and I were there in those morning worships, and there's a small, like, pastor's office that doubles as a prayer room. And as we sat there, there was a large motto on the wall, and I would look across and read that. It was in the old German script, and I would figure it out, and then I would try to understand what it means. It was about the Holy Spirit, and it's been there. Maybe it was there way before. Probably belonged to my Uncle Walter, and it was there this past June when I was there. I looked at it again. And now I'm trying to remember just what it says. There are three things that it says about the Holy Spirit. And I could paraphrase it, but I'd really rather get it right. So does anybody know, you've looked at it all these years, is it imprinted in your, on the back of your mind, the negative there? Grace. You never read that sign? Not this year, okay. Well, the idea is, well, no, help me, come on. I remember that you never did anything of eternal worth apart from the Holy Ghost. Something like that. You never took one step toward heaven without the Holy Ghost. You never helped another soul, maybe towards the Lord, except by the Holy Spirit's aid and There were three things. One other, come on. Well, the idea, do I have it about right? Is there, Moni, you have such a good mind to remember things. Oh, I had it right? But I only gave two. Something like that. You never said anything that was worth anything, and you never helped anyone heavenward, and you never took a step forward in the Christian life apart from the working, apart from the power of the Holy Spirit, the aid of the Spirit. I'm going to go back, the Lord willing, and I'll get it right, and I'll remember it better. I read it every time. It always strikes me, but I guess it's the language barrier, a little bit. But it's something about you never did this, you never did that, without the Holy Ghost. It always says, ohne den Heiligen Geist. That means without the Holy Spirit. And so we need the Holy Spirit. And I'm so thankful for the lessons that we've been having and for the encouragement to rely on the Holy Spirit and to open to the Holy Spirit's moving and to apply to the aid of the Holy Spirit. We appeal to Him. He is among us and He is within us, and we want to trust Him and we want to yield to His precious working. And we've been hearing so many things about the Holy Spirit in these days, and one day we heard about how the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to us. Isn't it wonderful? The Holy Spirit makes the truth real to us, and the Holy Spirit makes Jesus great to us, makes Him beautiful, paints Him large, real big. He portrays Him to us, and he shows us how great and wonderful our Lord Jesus is. And as we said the other night, He teaches us that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. He reveals to us by His Spirit the things that are in God's heart, in God's purpose for us. It says that the Holy Spirit does that, I should say. And I just want to share something this afternoon with you briefly. It has to do with the 2007, you know, up to date, the 2007 camp season. It's this way. When we begin each year, this started with my father a number of years ago, he would choose for us a theme. And a devotional book, at the beginning they were by Andrew Murray, the last several years they've been by Francis Havergal. And these all would have a theme, and that would be the theme that he would choose for the staff for the season. Usually we had a memory text with that, and this year we had one too. Last year he chose for us a very fitting verse. This was his last year, 2006, and he chose that we learn from Philippians 2. Isn't this amazing? I'm sure he was hoping to be at camp when he chose this verse. He didn't know how things would work out, that he wouldn't make it that year, and he would go to be with the Lord, actually, right as the camp season closed on Labor Day last year. But he chose what Paul said to the Philippians: you always obeyed in my presence, now in my absence. You're on your own, is what he said. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's God who is working in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Well, if that wasn't prophetic, I don't know what is. But He chose that for us. And along with the theme, we had the Havergal devotional book. It's a monthly devotional called Royal Commandments. Morning thoughts for the King's servants. I believe it's a Royal Commandments. Obey. Oh, the importance and the blessedness of obedience. You obeyed in my presence, now obey in my absence. And follow on to know the Lord. Work out your own salvation. I won't be there to hold your hand all the way through, but the Lord is with you. And you're with Him and He's with you. And so work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for He is working in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. So that was great. And so this year, we chose the companion volume to Royal Commandments, which was Royal Bounty. Royal Bounty, Evening Thoughts for the King's Guests. That was the companion volume to Royal Commandments, Morning Thoughts for the King's Servants. This year was Royal Bounty, Evening Thoughts for the King's Guests. And it has been such a blessing to me to read these readings. Let's see, now we've been through 2 full months, July and August. They both had 31 days, so we were able to read them all. Well, we had this book already in April, didn't we? So some of you have read this quite a number of times already. When I got this book in April, I already knew that at the end of the season, I thought maybe on August 31st, but it's September 1st already. I already knew that I was going to read the last page in the meeting. That's how wonderful this was to me. And I would like to do that yet before we close this afternoon. The last one, day 31. But I'd also like to mention that this book is available in the Boathouse. There are a number of them left. If you'd like to get one, I believe they are, where's the Boathouse lady? $350. I think that's what it costs. This has been a great blessing to us. The Royal Bounty. Do you know what that's based on? Where the Queen of Sheba came to visit King Solomon, and it says, King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. And the thought in the first devotional is, you can ask for many things, but God has so much more. And all that you ask, He gives, and then from His royal bounty. The second one, the Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure. Deuteronomy 28, that's for those who obey, right? Who hearken and obey. He will give from His good treasure. Praise the Lord, the precious things that He has for us. And you go all the way through, it just gets better. Thy love is better than wine, so it's His love in all its fullness, the gift of peace, the abiding joy, my peace I give unto you. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. And get this one. No chastening for the present seems to be joyous. So chastening's a blessing, even though it seems grievous. You know why? Afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. There's something else from the royal bounty, that chastening can be a blessing because of its results. Protection, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Guidance, He puts forth His sheep and goes before them. Safe stepping, thy foot shall not stumble. I mean, it's just so precious. And then He wins our hearts and He brings us into His service, the everlasting service. He shall serve Him forever. Well, I only gave you a few. Marvelously helped. Remember King Uzziah? As he trusted in the Lord, he was marvelously helped. And do thou for me, God working way beyond what we could do for ourselves and what we could even imagine. His drawing, no man comes unto me except it were given him of my Father. Just so many. 31 references. Well, what did we choose to go along with that for our memory work? Now this staff that's here, Some of you have just come on, and I can't require it of you, but I'm going to tell you what it was. And maybe you'll learn it. I had one brother tell me at the beginning of the season that he was going to recite Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. I only gave him 3 and 4 to learn. But it's one passage called Spiritual Blessings in Christ. Ephesians 1, 3 and 4. Those were our memory verses. And he said to me, I'm going to recite 3 through 14. And I believe him, but I'm still waiting. You're ready, aren't you? Okay. But I'd just like to read this to you. Listen to this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. That's what we were supposed to learn. But my brother is going on, and I'm going to refresh his memory and read with you. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. And this section in my Bible says spiritual blessings in Christ. All these blessings that we have, God has ordained for us that we might come into them, receive and enjoy them forever in Christ. They are all in him. He has blessed us. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. If you just look at this passage, you see them one after another. We're chosen in him before the foundation of the world, and always with a goal in mind, with a purpose. Whenever you read about God's choice of people or predestination, people wonder about those things, and there's always a purpose. God has a purpose. Here you have that we should be holy and blameless before him. Think of it. He takes sinners like us. He redeems us by his blood. He cleanses us by his power. He indwells us by his spirit. He changes us. He works in us through the power of the Holy Ghost. He speaks his marvelous word and works in us a mighty change. And he sanctifies us. He makes us holy as he is holy. That's his command. That's his call, that's his provision. Be holy. Be ye holy, he said to his people already in the Old Testament. And he reiterated that to us in the New Testament through the Apostle Peter. I, the Lord your God, am holy. And he wants his people to be holy and blameless. And because he loves us, he predestined us and made us his children. Look at that. He predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will. Isn't that wonderful? Brought right into the family of God. We were without God, you said, without hope in this world, strangers and foreigners, without God, outside of Christ, without hope, now brought near through the blood of Christ. It's all in His plan and purpose for us. He brings us right into the family. Children of the Heavenly Father, we like to sing, safely in His bosom gather. Nestling bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge e'er was given. We're right in His family. We're right in His heart. His heart is our home. We're children of the Heavenly Father. And that makes us brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's such a tremendous thing. We've been adopted. Another one of our songs, I once was an outcast, stranger on earth, a sinner by choice, an alien by birth, but I've been adopted. My name's written down. I'm an heir to a mansion, a robe and a crown. I'm a child of the King. With Jesus, my Savior, I'm a child of the King. He predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ. One of the great blessings I had this summer, I had many. I mentioned just the other night how this camp season has been full of great experiences for me, for which I thank God. One of them was just during this last session. I had the opportunity to go down to the village for morning worship once. It was the Friday morning before the Sunday. That was the middle of the period when they would recite and sing, you know, in that big meeting. I had to be in Ridgewood. I couldn't be at that meeting, but they were going over it that morning, their memory work, and they were singing their songs and others in their worship. And my heart was so stirred. I was telling someone at the table today, I couldn't hold my, I was weeping there. I don't think I let it show, but I was so stirred as they sang how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure. At the end of that verse, it says, He brings many sons to glory. And that was when they sang that, this room full of boys.
Hallelujah.
It's so great.
Yeah.
And then, I was telling you at the table, wasn't I? And then they also sang that wonderful chorus, Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us that we should be called the sons of God. You know that one? They sing it as a round. We used to sing it in Sunday school. That was so stirring to hear those boys sing that. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. That we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Be that we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. That what manner of love the Father has given unto us. I guess we have to stop somewhere, right? Because we could go on and on. But it says, Behold, what manner of love the Father has, it says, bestowed upon us in the King James Version, that we should be called the children of God. Think of it. Just think of it. It's one of the blessings that we have in Christ. Adoption into the family of God. I'm so glad we sing, I'm a part of the family of God. And it's in Christ that we have been brought nigh into the Father's heart. We're His sons and daughters. What does it say there in 1 John 3? Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us that we should be called the children of God. Then it says, therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. That's a blessing. I've spoken on that passage. I was telling Brother Graver the other day, since I heard that, I've spoken on that passage twice. It was so stirring to me. I took 1 John 3:1, 2, and 3, right? And I've spoken on that, and I skipped right over that phrase because it wasn't part of the point that I was making. And I said to him, sometimes you can just gloss right over something, and then it comes to you. That's tremendous. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. I said to Brother Graver, you could preach a whole sermon on that. And we won't. But that's wonderful to be identified with him. He identifies with us and we identify with him. Who wants to be a part of this world when we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ? And beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Praise the Lord. Those are such wonderful words. And this passage goes on to speak of our hope. But here it says that we have been brought right in, and we are accepted by God the Father in his Son. He has blessed us to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. Or as it says, he has accepted us in Christ. And in Christ we have redemption through his blood. We have the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace shed on us abundantly, lavished upon us. Then you have wisdom and insight and understanding being given, all by the Spirit of God, helping us to begin to understand the mystery of his will and his purpose with us. As we study the scripture, the truth becomes real to us, and God begins to unfold to us how great is his mercy, how great is his grace, how great is his plan with sinners like us who are redeemed by his blood, forgiven all our sins, and cleansed by his power. Here it says that there's a plan that is a forever plan. And we have obtained an inheritance in Christ, predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Then it says, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. And you too, you to whom I write, you Ephesian Christians, and you who are written to down through the ages. I thought that was so wonderful how Brother Graver talked about Jesus speaking to his disciples the other night in John. And then how he's speaking to us. Of course he is. That wasn't by chance that was written down and preserved for us. And when it was almost lost, or it was only written in Latin, who would have been able to read it? Probably about 5 or 6 of us, who knows. And but here it is brought to us in our own tongue, and God speaks to us just as Jesus spoke to his disciples. He speaks to us. And so these epistles too, the ministry of the Apostle Paul, how could he know? How could anyone know, shut up in jail like that, what a blessing would flow down through the ages to the Christian church through that set of circumstances as God used his vessel to write to these individual churches? It probably seemed like a rather small-scale thing when he was doing it, right? And now think of it. We've been feeding on this word, this one right here, and in Colossians too, that goes along with this, that all the fullness of God dwells in Jesus. Some people say you don't want to focus on his blessings. Here they are, so many of them enumerated, because, you know, these are the folks that are especially spiritual. They want to divorce the blessings. It's We're interested in Him alone, whether He ever gives us a blessing or not. And there's a truth there, and a wonderful one. He's so great and so beautiful and so wonderful, but you really can't separate Him from His blessings. These blessings. In Him, God was pleased to cause all fullness to dwell in Him. And that's part of, as it says right there in Colossians, His greatness. The fullness that dwells in Him. We tap into the fullness of God when we come to Jesus, when we open our hearts to Him. And it says there that in all things He has the preeminence. But part of that is that God has made all fullness to dwell in Him. And our part in that is to come to Him and to receive out of His fullness. Horatius Bonar said, I lay my wants on Jesus. All fullness dwells in Him. That's our part. We're a needy people. And so we come to Him. And we receive His blessing. You know what I think? I think that's a good thing, by the way. I didn't mean to poke fun at the spiritual folks that say that. Because I think it has to do with the definition of blessing that people have in their minds. You know, the blessing of God is a beautiful car and a beautiful home, and you know, temporal things. And they say God gives us richly all things to enjoy. But we're talking about these blessings here in Ephesians 1, these spiritual blessings in Christ. I'm glad for everything that God gives us in this life to enjoy. But I think that must be what's meant, that we're not looking for those kinds of blessings as much as seeking Christ. We have Jesus' own word that as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things, meaning the temporal things that everyone needs, all these things shall be added unto us. But we put first things first. And that's what I think they mean when they say, we don't want His blessings, we want Him. But you know, when we receive Him, all these things come in the package, don't they? The gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this is such a wonderful song. I heard someone preaching on this about a year and a half ago, this whole passage, and he said, this should be sung. I thought, I wonder if anybody ever put this 3 to 14 to music. I wonder if that could even work. But anyway, he said it's such a song of blessing. And you see the chorus there, to the praise of His glorious grace. To the praise of His glory. It comes several times. To the praise of His glory. Jesus is wonderful. And we're so thankful for these blessings. And I just wanted to call your attention to our theme for this season, this afternoon, that we had with the staff. And how wonderful Jesus is, and all that we have, all that is wrapped up in Him for us when we receive Him, how wonderful He is. And the last reading here is called the Fame Excelling Reality. In other words, it goes beyond what you've heard, beyond expression. Thou exceedest the fame that I heard. It was interesting that the last reading goes back to the Queen of Sheba again. And she testified that way in 2 Chronicles 9:6. This goes beyond what I heard when I came to investigate. But wow, what I've seen and experienced here, it goes way beyond what I have heard. Here it says, Thou exceedest the fame that I heard. Thou, Lord Jesus, for whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. Thou, who hast loved me and washed me from my sins in thine own blood. Thou who hast given thyself for me, thou who hast redeemed me, called me, drawn me, waited for me, thou who hast given me thy Holy Spirit to testify of thee, thou whose life is mine and with whom my life is entwined, so that nothing shall separate or untwine it, thou exceedest the fame that I heard. There are no words that can describe how wonderful Jesus is. What did we used to hear? It's better felt than telt. You have to enter in. I think of Isaac Watts, one of his great songs. He says, "Join all the glorious names of wisdom, love, and power that mortals ever knew, than angels ever bore. All are too mean to speak his worth, too mean to set my Savior forth. All his names are wonderful, but no words can describe his greatness, his majesty, his glory, his beauty, fame excelling reality. The reality is so far greater than anything we could say." And there's where the Holy Spirit comes in. He brings us into the experience that we read about in God's Word, of seeing Jesus, of loving him, of having him. And that's so great, so great. "I heard a great fame of thee," Havergal goes on. "They told me thou wert gracious. They told me as much as they could put into words. And they said, 'Come and see.' I tried to come, but I could not see. My eyes were holden, though thou wast not far. Then I heard what thou wast to others, and I knew that thou wast the same Lord. But now I believe, not because of their saying, for I have heard thee myself, and I know that thou art indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world, my Savior, thee whom I shall see for myself. I now know for myself, my Lord and my God." I did not understand how there could be satisfaction here and now. It seemed necessarily future. In the very nature of things, it seemed, in spite of thy promises, that the soul could never be filled with anything but heaven. But thou fillest, thou satisfiest it. Now it wonderingly rejoiceth, finds in thee unearthly bliss, rests in thy divine perfection, and is satisfied with this, altogether fair and lovely, evermore the same to me, precious, infinite Lord Jesus. I am satisfied with thee. I'd just like to interject here that at the beginning of the season we had that text before us, that wonderful, wonderful offer of God and that command, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." And that's, as you know, right in Isaiah 55, that speaks about the glorious feast that is spread for us. "Oh, everyone that thirsts, come." We've been singing about it. Come, there's fullness in Jesus. Come, come. There's this abundant provision. As F.B. Meyer says, it's described as water, wine, milk, satisfying bread, fatness. We're invited to come for the water, but we find a feast prepared at which we sit to eat. It reminds us of the words of the epistles, the wealth of which surpasses thought. "Blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. All things are yours. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." Oh, that we could realize, he says, that our table is spread, that there is enough for us, that our name lies between the knife and the fork, that the doors stand open, that we have only to take. Everything the apostles had is ours. All that God can give is given. All that the soul wants is ready at hand. We have not to ascend into heaven to bring down the grace of God, or to descend into any depth to bring it up. It is nigh, it is here. Eat, O beloved, eat and drink abundantly. There can be no stint for those whom God calls as his guests to sit at the table of his Son. We talk as though the feast were at the end of this dispensation. And by the way, I know that it will be wonderful and more glorious than we can possibly imagine. But Brother Meyer says, we talk as though the feast were at the end of this dispensation, but the oxen and fatlings are already killed, and all things are now ready. Come ye, come to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I didn't finish reading Habakkuk. I'm almost done, really. It's hard to listen to these old-fashioned words, but they're... Listen. For thou exceedest the fame that I heard. I find in me, in thee, more than I heard, more than I expected, more than all. The excellency of the knowledge of thee, Christ Jesus, my Lord, not only includes all other treasures of wisdom and knowledge, but outshines them all. Every other fame that I heard has had some touch of disappointment. Imagination could always flash beyond reality, even if actual expectation, quieted by experience, had kept within the mark. But now I see that thou exceedest all that God-given mental powers can reach. Every glimpse is but an opening vista. All the music is but a prelude. What I know of thee only magnifies the yet unknown. All the God-implanted craving for something beyond, all the instinct for the infinite, is met, responded to, satisfied in thee. There is no part of my being but finds its full scope and its true sphere in thee. Thou exceedest all that I heard in every respect. No one could tell me what thy pardoning love, thy patience, thy long-suffering would be to me. No one could tell me how thy strength, thy grace, thy marvelous help would fit into the least as well as the greatest of my continual needs. No one could tell me what grace was poured into thy lips for me. Thou art all to each of thy children, a complete and all-excelling Christ to every one, as if it were only for each one. Thy secret is with each. Thou givest the white stone and the new name which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it. And if thou exceedest all that I heard now and here amid the shadows and the veils, how far more exceeding will be thy unshadowed and unveiled glory. Lord Jesus, I bless thee for thy promised eternity, for I shall need it all to praise thee that thou exceedest the fame that I heard. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Now, that's just one reading out of 31, but I just love the way it set Jesus forth, and with the acknowledgement that we can't really do him justice, but we can come to him, and we can partake of him, and we can know him. And these blessings that God has planned for us are ours in Jesus Christ. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. In Psalm 84, we read, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold. So got to thinking, good things. We want good things, don't we? And we know that there are good things for us in the Bible. One of the Bible good things is whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. But I was thinking along other lines too. In the Sermon on the Mount, it says that our Heavenly Father gives good things to those who ask him. Remember that passage in Matthew 7? Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. To those who knock, the door is open. I understand that it means those who continually ask. You don't stop after asking once, but you keep on asking. You're persistent in your desire and in your faith. And God opens his heart and his storehouse to you. It says, which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Now I know some of you know where I'm going with this. Because there's a companion passage in the 11th chapter of Luke. And Jesus is speaking the same teaching. Perhaps he taught on prayer more than once, but Luke records it this way. It's very much the same, but he says this instead of good things. Do you know what he says? Of course you do. Everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Isn't that great? We don't have to be without the Holy Spirit. I started by saying on that motto in Kirchheim, it says we can't do anything that's of any value without the Holy Spirit. We take no steps heavenward without the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is given. And we can come and we can ask and we can receive and we can yield to his mighty working. We open to his fullness and we yield to his working, and Jesus comes to us and he works in us. He meets all of our needs. All of our needs, as great as they are, he meets them. Oh, may we walk uprightly, and may we come in faith, and may we receive out of his fullness. No cross purposes, no crooked dealings, no hypocrisy, no deceit. Spurgeon says, if we walk foully, God cannot give us favors, for that would be a premium upon sin. But the way of uprightness is the way of heavenly wealth. Listen, wealth so large as to include every good thing. And that means too, included in that is the fullness of the Spirit and the working of the Spirit to accomplish in us that which we so greatly, so desperately need. But here it is, provided for us. And Spurgeon ends that reading with, what a promise to plead in prayer. Let us get to our knees. Dear Lord, we just want to thank you for this season and for that truth that you have held before us, that we have all things in you. And you have shown us again and again, at least you've told us again and again throughout this season, how desperately we need you, that without you we can do nothing and we can not make it and we are of no use. We need you, Lord. We need you. And we thank you that you are given to us. We thank you, Lord, that we can experience you and we can possess you. Yes, in your fullness, you have given us yourself. And so, Lord, we don't want to stop short, but we pray that all of us shall receive the Holy Spirit and receive you in your fullness, just as you desire to come to us. Oh, Lord, it wasn't our plan or purpose, but yours. It wasn't our idea, but yours. And we thank you that you have stooped to us, to lift us, and you have made such glorious promises to us, and you have provided for us such abundant blessing, marvelous provision. And we want to receive, we want to receive, and we want to yield, we want to open wide to your working and find out the greatness of your loving heart. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. This afternoon, we thank you for the privilege that we have of being here in this place this weekend and turning our heart's attention to you and opening wide our hearts to you. Lord, we want to give you all of our attention. We want to focus all of our attention upon you and then give you all of our heart's adoration and all of our heart's affection. And Lord, as we do, we believe that you are working in us to will and to do of your good pleasure and to glorify your name. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, we love you. You exceed the fame that we heard. Hallelujah. The reality is so much greater than everything that we have heard and anything that we could say. And it's so much greater than the perception or the imagination or anything that we have ever asked or thought. And so we thank you that we can come to you and drink deeply and partake of you. Hallelujah. And this we do. And this we do. And this we do by your grace, Lord. You have awakened us. You have quickened this desire in our hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit, to quicken us, everyone. Shed abroad the love of God in my heart this afternoon. And in all of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And also, Lord, we pray that you will help us all that we might abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So much has been provided for us. It'll take an eternity to experience the fullness of your abundant provision. We thank you that we begin here and now, but may the God of hope fill every one of our hearts with all joy and peace in believing and cause us to abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Let's sing together number 54 in our camp songbooks. We have opportunity yet to wait on the Lord after we sing, those who'd like to. Number 54. And let's stand as we sing.
Father.
Take opportunity for those who just like to wait on God now, and as you do leave, would you please leave quietly? I'm sure you will, so as not to disturb those who are waiting on the Lord. And we have as much time as you want to take. Let's just open our hearts to the Lord. He's right here for you.